We met at 9.
No, we met at 8.
I was on time.
No, you were late.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. We dined with friends.
We dined alone.
A tenor sang.
A baritone.
Ah, yes, I remember it well.
Hello, I'm Sean Phillips, and that was part of the song I Remember It Well from the London production of the musical Gigi, sung by Jean-Pierre Aumont and Beryl Reid. This production had a particular significance for me, as it was the start of a wonderful and lasting friendship between Beryl, playing Mamita, and myself as her sister, Aunt Alicia. I'd been a fan all my life, and as far as I was concerned, to meet her was to love her. In this and the following 5 programs, I'll be talking to Beryl about her remarkable life and career. The interviews each take place in Beryl's delightful Thameside home, Honeypot Cottage, to a substantial, if largely uninvited, audience of cats. You had a happy home, Beryl. What are your first recollections of home?
I suppose, about 3 when I had my imaginary friend, who was called Invigamus, who was born. You see, my brother was 4 years older than me, and so I wasn't always allowed to play with him, because he didn't want me. I was a soppy kid, you know. And he and James, his friend, used to have games and almost be going to school then. And if I went out and I was missing for a while, my mother used to say, "You've not been out on your own, have you, Bill?" I said, "No, Mummy, of course I haven't. I was with Invigamus, who was born. And we went for a lovely walk and then met this lion." And I mean, it was an imagination to end them all. And it kept me very well entertained.
So when did you decide you wanted to go on the stage, as it were, or become an entertainer? I don't know. What did you think you wanted to be?
When I was 4, I was going on the stage, and I never deviated from that.
No.
You see, I learnt to dance when I was 4, and I realised you got on a bit of wood a bit higher than some other people, and sort of romped about a bit.
Yes, and they all looked at you.
And
they clapped.
Yes, and I used to put my father's hat on, and yes, I think before I was 4, and be Uriah Heep.
Oh, wonderful.
And he said, "Oh, you'd gone, Mr. Copperfield." Oh. I think I was a bit eerie as a child.
Yes, you must have been a bit. Yes. But could you see yourself? Did you know what you wanted to be? I mean, did you want to be a beautiful, glamorous grand?
Never.
No? So what?
Never.
What was your picture?
Well, if you haven't got a proper coat hanger for yourself, the thing to do is impersonations. Mm. So I made up a little sort of act. I had nobody to write for me or anything. So I made up a sort of act. I was supposed to be a maid in a hotel cleaning the shoes outside the doors and putting the shoes on and impersonating the people in the hotel. And I was called Ethel.
Yes.
And I got that together as a sort of turn. It was terrible.
Was this an amateur turn? This was before you actually got paid for it.
I was 16.
Yes.
And my father said, "Now, you see, B, you want to go to somewhere where you get a pension."
Yes.
So he was the auctioneer and valuer and estate agent at a firm called Kendall Milnes in Manchester. Mm-hmm. And so he said, "You're going to be an apprentice there." So I got 9 3/8 a week.
And the prospect of a pension.
Yes. But as I was the junior, I had to go for my lunch at 11:30, which is rather early. And so there was a concert party theatre called Leslie's Pavilion in Manchester where we lived then, and I wrote and said, could I come and do an audition? And I went in my 11:30 lunch hour, and I did this little bit of a turn, and I got a job in Concert Party for £2 a week.
My gosh, so did that mean that you left Kendal Milne, or did you manage to combine both for a bit?
I was only there 6 weeks, and I was in 6 different departments.
It didn't last long.
Oh, I did it wrong purposely, because I didn't want to be there.
No.
I wanted to be on the stage.
Of course.
You know, I sent all the fur coats to the wrong addresses, and then I was in the China department and broke everything. And my only slight success was in the toy department, and they got me demonstrating a thing with Bakelite bricks.
I can see that would be more up your street.
And this was a bit more like it.
Of course.
I could, you know, gather people round, and I used to do this demonstration, and then at the end of it, I used to look round to see if Mr. Kilworth, the buyer, was there, and if he wasn't, I used to say to all the people, don't buy them, they're awful. Oh. They all fall to pieces when you get them home. So, of course, when I got a job at the end of the 6 weeks...
They were quite happy to let me go.
and then I went home and said, I'm going on the stage. Got a job, £2 a week.
What did they say?
At Bridgington. Well, my mother said, well, that's what you've always wanted, Bill. That was all right.
Yeah.
And my father said, I would rather see you dead at my feet. He never asked where I was for a year.
Oh, he was serious.
Oh, yes. But he was the swank pot when I began to do a bit better. That's my daughter, you know.
Yes,
he
yes,
swanked. Yes. Mummy never did. She sort of disowned me in public.
Supported you in private.
And supported yes, me very yes, much. Because she said to me, you know, when I was trying to fix my first pantomime, she said, now don't forget, this was the man called Jack Gillam, don't forget, Bill, there's nothing you can't do. So Jack Gillam said, what do you do then? So I said, oh, everything, Mr. Gillam. And he said, and how much do you want? So I said, £3 a week. He said, do you know, all my life I've been looking for somebody who'll do everything for £3 a week.
So Ethel was your first character?
Yes, well, it was just me dressed as a maid.
Yes, yes.
But
you were in show business.
I was
in
show business, and I didn't know how to make up. And I took my makeup off with Trex because I knew it had to be something greasy to take the makeup off. And I used to take my makeup off with an ordinary hand towel, you know. And then I used to put it in a parcel and send it to my mother to wash. And the postman came one day and said to Mummy, I think she sent you some kippers this week.
All the grease.
All the grease is coming to the paper, you see.
How long did you go on in Concert Party?
Well, that's the summer season.
Yes.
Now, there was a terrible lull between the summer season and the pantomime.
Oh.
And so this was when I had to start thinking more seriously about getting a proper act together.
Now, we're not talking about Ethel and her shoes now.
Oh, no, we're not.
So
we're talking about me in a sort of homemade evening frock that my mother had made for me.
Yes.
And doing a song.
Right.
And a sort of eccentric dance to end with, because you had to have a finish.
A finish.
And then the middle, I used to do impressions of people like Zazu Pitts and Gracie Fields and...
Wonderful.
All those sorts. I mean, it was still hopeless.
Yeah. I was going to say, was it any good?
Oh, no. No good at all.
But people didn't throw things at you?
No, not till a bit later.
Oh, they
But I gradually collected material. Mm. And the second season, summer season I did, I met a man called Arnold Crowther, who was a conjurer. But he wrote a song as a schoolgirl,
yes,
for me. And that was the very, very beginning of... It wasn't Monica. I just did it sort of as myself,
yes,
as a schoolgirl.
How interesting, but it was a
schoolgirl. But that was,
there was a character,
the start of it.
And the dates are not glamorous either, Beryl,
oh,
at this
no.
point, are they?
No. No, they're terrible.
And were the theatres pretty crummy? Or?
Oh, awful. I played all the dumps.
Yes.
I played Benwell, which was outside Newcastle. Attercliffe.
I like Attercliffe.
Where the rats ate my knickers. And nobody had a bathroom in Attercliffe.
No.
Nobody had a bathroom. And it was rather funny because the orchestra were terrible. And this, at the end of the performance, the conductor who wore white Mickey Mouse gloves went bum 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 bum, and all the orchestra stood up and they sang cheerio until the next time from the palace at a cliff. May the skies be always blue and all your wonderful dreams come true. Health and happiness we pray, may forever with you stay. So cheerio until the next time from the Pony Satter Cliff. At which point the conductor leapt over the rail, ran to the other end of the pit and did a solo on the bells. And then when he got back, you see, to his conducting position, he'd lost his place. And
yes,
they say, page four, you silly bugger. And, of course, that was hysterical to me. I mean, I loved all that. And then I played Barnsley. And when you did an act, you had to do your own orchestra rehearsal, and you had band books, and when you got it, mine were sort of like cardboard files to begin,
yes,
with, and so you put your band books down as soon as you got into the theatre, and you also had to know your music,
mm,
I mean, so that you could argue about notes,
mm,
and at Barnsley, a trumpet player was playing, I said, that should be a B natural.
Mm.
And he said, it's not a B natural, it's a B flat, I'm playing that. I said, no, it's a B natural.
Mm.
He said, I don't have to do this, you know, I'm a first class joiner. And my worst was, mm, when it wasn't going to be an orchestra, it was going to be a piano,
mm,
and I can't actually remember where it was,
mm,
but there was a woman with a canvas apron just sweeping the, washing the stage, actually. And I'd got there very early to get my band books down first.
Mm.
And I said, excuse me, what time is the band call? And she got up and she dried her hands on her apron and said, well, I'm ready when you are. That, I think, was the worst.
But, Beryl, I get the impression that you've always loved all of it, actually.
Oh, yes,
the,
I have.
Even the bad bits. But when these things happened to you, were you beginning to think, oh, I wish I could have a leg,
yes,
up now, I want to get on.
I want to get on.
You could see that it was pretty crummy. I mean, although,
yes,
you wanted to be in it.
I wanted to be in it, but I wanted to get better.
Of course, yes.
And you see, I started telling jokes, which was quite a tough thing to do.
Yes.
For a girl.
Very.
But I got quite good at that.
I believe you.
I mean, I wasn't bad eventually. I read.